I couldn't help feeling a weird sense of guilt as I read Ellie Katz's new book, From Scientist to Stroke Survivor, Life Redacted. Ellie has spent most of her life struggling with physical pain. In a piece we published in the journal 5 years ago, she wrote, I crafted this autobiographical sketch while braced in a shoulder garment that hugs my right lower rib and shoulder, which dislocate during sleep almost nightly. A neck brace cloaks my cervical spine and offers some semblance of stability my frequent shoulder dislocations demand. My right arm, a helpless child uncertain of how to carry her own weight, tugs at the base of my scalp. Ellie had been diagnosed with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, EDS, a rare heritable connective tissue disorder that lacks a cure. The piece was a triumph of the spirit, showing how Ellie overcame never-ending ailments to thrive in academia at Harvard College. But however difficult those obstacles were, the story still had a familiar feel. We've all come across the cliche of a courageous soul overcoming acute disability. October 24, 2022, is when Ellie's story stopped being a cliche. An unfortunate accident in the operating room made her past condition feel like a Hawaii vacation. Forget Harvard, forget the dream of becoming a scientist, forget all those little pleasures she managed to enjoy despite EDS. Given the ongoing cervical instability around her neck, she had gone in that day for a routine set of injections. But this is the spine we're talking about. The margin of error is measured in millimeters. Tragically, a doctor's slip of the needle triggered a debilitating stroke and a hemorrhage that unleashed unbearable pain and paralyzed Ellie's right side. Suddenly, she failed to locate her entire right side. The once watertight GPS system between her brain and her body was breached, Ellie wrote about herself. Mom, is my right side on the bed? Where is my right side? Can you see it? Is it there? Her interrogatories gushed forth, the questions colliding with each other breathlessly as her terror mounted. Her throat constricted around syllables. Her body plan felt remapped to an uncharted terrain relative to before. It jolted her like a harrowing nightmare, a plot twist crafted in a science fiction workshop. This is where my guilt comes in. It doesn't come from feeling sorry for Ellie, although I'm sure there is some of that. It doesn't come from the awkward guilt of feeling grateful for not being in her shoes, although I'm sure there must be some of that, too. No, it comes from feeling guilty that her words were bringing me tremendous pleasure. Is it callous of me to read the most heart-wrenching tale of physical pain and loss and think, this is one of the most beautiful sentences I've ever read? Her prose disrupted my mind, assaulting me with words I had never seen come together before. I muddle and contuse pronouns over and again throughout this narrative, as I grapple with the lack of distance between me and myself, Ellie wrote. I write through and into an experience so massive that I require techniques to capture it. Poetry, in its permutations and repetition, is the one steadfast technology I leverage for this undertaking. I am not concerned with making meaning but with coming as close as possible to it. Therefore, the source of this artwork is a hovering presence. Trauma's scale is a forest, while my ritual consists of drawing a single tree, a branch even, in lines of words that have proven to be essential lifelines. I glue myself together by taking a step back from the I, not to bypass it but to earn my right ultimately to occupy it again. The book is an homage to poetry, to the power of the poem to transcend the limits of language. Ellie chronicles her post-October 24 life in acute detail, using the lens of hundreds of poems divided into 7 movements, like some epic symphony of trauma. From the first movement, I exist more like a vapor, spreading in all directions. Or perhaps stalwartly stationary, it is difficult, if not impossible, to distinguish the two. From the last movement, thrownness, we exist on the perimeter of ourselves. Cows grazing outskirts of fields. Neglecting the racing evergreen heart at the center. The random, askance universe does not catch us. There is a section in the introduction where Ellie, overcome by her loss, feels somewhat useless, fearing she might not have anything left to give. Her raw, luminous words in this remarkable book should put those fears to rest. For those of us who love words, this book is a pleasure festival, and I feel zero guilt telling her that.